Well, good morning and good afternoon, everyone. I'm Elliot Callan, CEO of Prosperity Financial Group, and I'd like to welcome you to another terrific episode of Meet the Expert. Very exciting today. We've got a business consultant with us. We rarely interview business consultants. I get hit up by a business consultant almost every day as CEO of this growing organization. And I'm sure everybody who's a CEO and the C-suite is target marketed as well. I brought Sean on, and he'll tell you more about what he does, because I've used him and I highly recommend him in so many ways, particularly in corporate culture and understanding personality. Because as a business owner, if you don't define your corporate culture, it gets defined for you. And sometimes with an employee who's all cancer, he'll define or she'll define your entire culture. So that's the purpose of today's show. We're going to target market C-suite people, HR people. And if you'd like to reach me, I'm at 925-314-8503. Or Elliot, E-L-L-I-O-T, at Prosperity Financial Group, or www.prosperityfinancialgroup.com. Let me welcome Sean Perlmutter to the show. Welcome, Sean.
Elliot, always a pleasure to be with you. I'm always impressed with the expertise and personality that you bring to it. So happy to be here with you today.
I'm glad to be here. Thank you. Let me give you a quick background on Sean, because for consultants, credibility matters. And he has got it. I'll read it to you. 20-year career in engineering growth with communications, brands, coaching, consulting. He's worked with professionals. He's worked with organizations. He's worked with C-suite people. And he's got a who's who list of who are his clients, which I'm not going to mention on air because it's a who's who. But it is a very impressive list, what they've done, what he's done with them. And we're going to talk about that because we are in a 401k market. The organization is from 25 to 250 employees. Crossover markets with what Sean is doing. We help people out every single day of the week with money, with finances, with retirement. Sean's more on the culture side, keeping the company going with where they want it to go, employing the vision, employing goals, and making sure everybody's clear. And I tell a very funny story, Sean, if I could, before I ask you a few questions. Sure. I've got a very successful friend of mine worth hundreds of millions of dollars who ran a 35-person very large hedge fund company on the East Coast. And he brought an outside consultant in to redo the website, fix the culture, do what needed to be done. And they asked him as CEO, please give us your vision that you've shared with everybody. And he had a vision statement and a mission statement all in writing already, because he's got an MBA, and that's what MBA people do, is they've got vision, mission, and goals that they've got written in front of them, and they've got an inner shower and above the toilet bowl and an executive washroom and all these places they can see that. And they said, give it to us, and they read it, and they said, well, this is very good. We'll clean it up, but that's not what we're going to do today. Today, we're going to interview all 35 of your employees and ask them what your vision and mission are and see how close they come. And not one of them was even in the ballpark. And that's including his three vice presidents. We weren't even in the ballpark of his mission or vision.
Such a great thing that he did. And it, well, you know what? It's just data. It's just feedback that he got that none of them were in the ballpark of his vision. But the greatest thing that he did was seek out that information, because then when you got it, now you can find a way to bring it all together. The catbird seat for culture, especially when it comes to aligning with the values set out by your leadership, is to help all of the team members align their individual values with the company values. That's when you know you're hitting your stride.
So that puts us into the first question, Sean, because my story was just don't be surprised if everybody doesn't have your vision. And I have to tell you, as a person here with Prosperity Financial Group, with approximately 10 people, give or take, both selling financial products or services and working internally, I often wonder if how many of them have my vision. And then for our other company, Prosperity Wealth Management, with 50 plus people there, I can almost guarantee none of them do. So it's very funny. But why don't you tell us a little bit, Sean, because obviously you've got great credibility. You've been doing this forever. Your company has been around since, I think, 2018. Pivotal twist. You've got credibility. Tell me what you do. And then tell me at the same time who your target market is and how you serve them.
We help. My company is Pivotal Twist. and we help organizations with generally about up to 1,000 employees leverage their talent so that they can grow, thrive, and win. We focus on company culture, on leadership development, and on communication. And our special sauce is we do it through the lens of story. So we're in the business of people. We want to leverage talent both as a group, as an organization, and then individually as well.
Well, we know that every MBA program in leadership or management talks about how to develop the right corporate culture, the Nike culture, the Amazon, that winning culture that every organization wants to have. There's no doubt about it, but there's more to it than that. So how do you define culture? And then what are some steps that senior HR, senior VPs, CFO, CEOs can begin to take, and even HR people, I don't want to ignore them, if they're not, whether or not in the C-suite or not, what can they do to improve the culture? So we want to define it, how do we get to it, and what can we do to improve it?
Throw a rock and you'll find a different definition of culture for sure. You know, a lot of people talk about it's the set of values that the organization has and how the people live it and work it. It's the way that they communicate in between leadership and team members, and then how that is interfaced with shareholders and with the consumer public. But for me, the simplest definition is the best. Company culture, it's how we do things around here. It's the how. It's the way you show up to work. You know, do you have a organization where it's nose to the grindstone and all business? Is it one that's more playful and people are yucking it up between each other internally and with customers? There's all sorts of variations in there. They relate to brand, by the way. And knowing the way you want your company culture to work and how you do things around here is a North Star for you. It gives you a path forward. Then you can put into place the operational activities and the methods of communication that support that. So the second part of your question is, all right, how do we accomplish that? What steps do we need to do that? We are very big on emphasizing communication. And the way you communicate with people makes a huge difference. Obviously, story is one of the best ways to accomplish that. So when you, as a leader, are interfacing with your management and then secondarily with managers communicating with their with team members, it's got to be done a certain way if you want to have a certain type of culture. How many touch points are you going to have? How many questions are you going to ask of your people? Are you going to be asking of them how their personal life is? And here is a big X factor. Maybe we'll touch on this later, Elliot. What is their emotional tenor? Typically in business, we want to stay away from the emotional side of things. But in today's landscape, understanding, acknowledging, and even celebrating your people's emotions is a way to actually make progress in helping to build your company culture in one where people feel safe, secure, and able to do their best work.
Well, along those lines, let me do a follow-up question to what you just brought up, if I could. So we'll get to emotional tenor, and I agree, that's a great subject too. But I want to talk about the personality of the office, because that's part of culture. So I have been criticized by many outside consultants, and some of my East Coast friends, again, very successful, and New York culture is different than California culture in so many ways. But I've created a culture here because I've got a bit of a joking personality. It's self-effacing. There's nobody that makes more fun of me than me. I get a head start. I do that. Very self-effacing. I know there are probably a dozen psychologists listening to this that would say, see, that's because you were dropped too early on your head by your mother. And you didn't get hugged enough by your father and all that other stuff. But it's right. Very self-effacing humor. And I'm good at giving it. I'm not bad at getting it because everybody likes to make fun of me. And it's just, I have big, broad shoulders with a 49-inch chest. You could dump on me pretty easily here.
Yeah.
Now, we also, so people around me, Sean, have a decent sense of humor too, most of the time. But we live in California. And California is very much a thin-skinned state where people can get offended by saying, how could you come on camera with a checkered or striped shirt? What were you thinking? And I've ruined your entire day or weekend with that comment, even though you probably should answer back, really, I like it. You don't like it? And we could have had some fun with it. And because maybe even in my personality, the next day I would have said, it's fine. I'm just kind of joking with you. But right. We didn't get to that point because I blew you out on that. And I'm not really talking about your shirt in particular at this point, but in general. But we do that, and I've been criticized. And I know I'm not the only CEO that's got a cute sense of humor and makes fun of people, and they make fun of him. But people have criticized that because they're the opposite side. It's serious. No joking. I've got a lot of lawyers in my family, and their attitude is don't make a joke. And no one jokes, period. That way you don't invite off-color, or racial, or radical, or something that's anti, in today's world, woke. And so what's right here? Because I don't want to be sued. Well, I don't want to come to work in a fun environment. So what's right?
Well, I can't talk about compliance or regulatory matters at all. But I do have a number of responses for you. The first thing is, I'm a kindred spirit, by the way. Playfulness, delight, and fun is a part of my company's brand. We lean into that. Not only because both my partner and I have the same spirit of wanting to have fun at work that you do, but also because bringing that sense of humor, that sense of joy and fun to our work, to our clients, in the work that we're doing, actually helps them improve better and faster with more effectiveness. Here's the second thing I want to share with you. Have you ever heard of the law of thirds?
No, what is that?
The law of thirds is no matter what you say, no matter what you do, there will always be a third of the people who loathe you, a third of the people who love you, and a third of the people who are neutral. It's a law, no matter what. So when you know that, you can say, okay, so for some people, that check shirt is off limits. That's not going to work. And you can say, okay, I accept that, because there's another third who think that that's terrific that I'm wearing that. And even another third after that who are neutral. They're neither hot nor cold about it. So it's A-okay. The last thing I want to share with you about this is that knowing your audience is important. And the way you speak to, let's say, the president is going to be different than the way you speak to, let's say, your second cousin who you were, you know, stealing Cokes from the basement with when you were little kids. You communicate differently, for sure. You wear different masks depending on who you're communicating with. So you have to acknowledge that going in and temper or massage, let's say, the way you communicate, the way you show up, depending on your audience. If you've got that ability ahead of time, then hey, maybe depending on the situation, you're going to be white collaring and wearing a necktie. Depending on another situation, it might be a t-shirt. It just depends, you know. So you got to know your audience and understand where you're going to put your first foot forward.
It's funny, I have to tell you that a couple of weeks ago, we were in the office and I had two of my main women at work for me, who just are delightful human beings and I enjoy every minute with them. And they were talking about how funny the office is, how much they enjoy it, how relaxed they are, how they can make fun of each other and still have a great day. And then later that afternoon, one of the younger ladies came in my office in her 20s and she said, you know, this is not a very fun office. And that all happened within a few hours.
Wow.
So let's stick with the culture thing, because that's really a culture thing. How do you work on, if you know most offices are probably a little bit like mine. Some people are like this, some people are that. Maybe it's a third, like you're talking about. But there's no one size fits all. So now I've got multiple people that I'm appealing to as a leader and multiple people I'm offending as a leader. And we don't want that. But so how do we work on improving the culture and maintaining the culture, especially in a tight labor market where I've sometimes have to hire somebody because I have to fill a position and I've got only one person to hire, not seven now?
Certainly who you target to hire makes a difference. You're going to be looking for certain things and you're going to be filtering out applicants based on criteria that you decide. And, you know, one firm is going to come in with saying, we need a certain skill set and the rest, it doesn't matter so much. Another one is going to say, we need a certain personality and we can train for the skill set and everything in between. So that's the first part. The second part, really important, is onboarding. Too many people, too many new hires get dropped as soon as they're hired and feel like they're lost. And the way you onboard your new hires, making them feel embraced, making them feel supported, and giving them the tools to succeed makes a huge difference. It's a really big thing. Okay, so beyond those two things, we're talking about maintenance and improvement. With improving a culture, there's a lot of different factors. So, like, I can't give you a generalization for how to do it in one or two sentences because it's about communication, it's about hierarchy. It depends on how the people work with each other. It depends on whether the company is prioritizing efficiency versus camaraderie. There's a lot of different things at play here. And one of the things that we do as consultants is to help identify where there are strengths and weaknesses in culture. That being said, we target a number of different things. We look at leadership and the way leaders interact with their managers and with their team members. We look at their own emotional intelligence, the way that they can control how they react, whether it's emotionally or not, to any given circumstance. And then the big thing is for us, again, this is our special sauce, is looking at all of the things that are working and not working through the lens of story. You know, your company is a story. It's been said that story strategy, and I believe that 100%. So if you know what your story is, if you know where you're going and what your challenges are and where you how you want to get to that lovely conclusion and the next chapter in your story, then you can lean into it. Then you can put the things in place. So for instance, our tagline is make talent your hero. Give the keys to the car, so to speak, to the people that are working with you. Allow them the responsibility and the space to do right, to do well by you. And in so doing, they're doing right by themselves. Well, when you do that and they are clear on the story that you're telling and where you want to go, now you've got a team of people who all want the same thing, and they're all bringing different talents and skills to that journey. And it can be a beautiful thing when you see it being played out. Maintenance. Maintaining a culture is really just as important as the hard work of improving a culture, because it's easy, unfortunately, for cultures to fray, for the strong bonds to get weaker in a company culture. So the maintenance can be, on one side of the spectrum, something that brings people together. You know, I talk about culture a lot, but in a very related term, although it's not exactly the same thing, is a sense of community. You want your people to enjoy each other. I'm not sure if you're familiar with this stat, but did you know that among the chief reasons that people leave organizations is they don't have a best friend at work? it's wild. You wouldn't think about that, but people are spending 40 hours a week at their jobs, and they want to feel like they've got somebody to talk to. You know, it's if it's only, what's the phrase? You know, all work and no play makes Johnny a dull boy, right? Well, if you're just nose to the grindstone all the time, you're going to burn out. You're not going to get the best work done. It's not going to be a very productive thing for the organization or for you at the end of the day. So having somebody to talk to and to blow off steam with and to joke with is really beneficial. So one end of the spectrum that we're talking about maintenance of culture right now, it's having fun activities. It's having, you know, you can laugh about it, but having, you know, Taco Tuesdays or, you know, the karaoke night once a month or whatever, those are not trivial. Those help bring people together and enjoy a aspect that isn't related to work. And now they feel better about being at work. The other end of the spectrum is this, and I'll end with this part, is learning and development is important. And giving people the tools for growth is important because people want to learn more. They want to excel more. They want to, you know, they want to achieve on an individual basis and for the organization. And so helping your teams and your leaders, whether it's through one-on-one coaching or through group training, can really go a long way to keep people sharp.
So let me talk about Pivotal Twist, because those are great answers you're giving. You're obviously a consultant in the business of culture and leadership and all these people that we appeal to, you appeal to, the CEO, the CFO, the senior VP of HR, even the HR, the whole suite there we appeal to and you appeal to. And you're coming in as a consultant, which means that I, as the owner of that company, have to engage in you. I have to sign a letter of engagement. So tell me, as I want to do this, because I'm talking to you because I could see a problem in my organization. And you're going to solve that for me. So I'm coming in. I'm going to hire Pivotal Twist. Tell me what that looks like to hire you. How would you describe the engagement? And because I have hired consultants in the past personally for my companies, it's really hard to measure the return on your investment. How do I know this is really working? So how do we measure? How does somebody out there measure that I hired Sean and his team at Pivotal Twist? And boy, they're really making a difference. It's worth it.
Good questions. Yes. So typical engagements are also on a spectrum, if you will. So on the one hand, when an organization knows exactly what the issue is, we've got manager X and the people on his team are not responding to him well because he tends to have a short fuse. Well, we can come in and we can do coaching with the manager. We can do team training about communication, and we can look at the organization from 30,000 feet up and say, how is this going to help the organization and Total, right? The other end of the spectrum, and this is really more of what we do by and large for organizations, is first comes the consulting part. And that's where we want to understand the lay of the land, sort of diagnose where the issues are and see if it lines up with what your idea of where the issues are. And then we're going to prepare what's like a white glove service. We can work on retainer at that point, and we can decide which departments need the learning and development, how the organization needs these other more playful events to keep people joined together, and any combination of those all in between. So between by the way, I want to mention too, this is really important. A lot of there's a lot of options in my business. You can just do recorded trainings. You know, I'm just going to asynchronously watch a video and learn something. And that can help a little bit. Or I'm going to read this book, or I'm going to bring in software that can help me to remind me of something. That's fine too. What we offer is blended learning. blended learning is the most effective. And that's because we do our own live training and coaching, and then we supplement it with the e-learning, which is the asynchronous learning. And that is small bits that build micro habits. So you might have like a 5 minute, let's call it a 5 minute endeavor, a 5 minute mission, a 5 minute accomplishment that you've got to do when you come in, and you do it at your own pace, whenever it's convenient for you. And in so doing, throughout the engagement, you start to build these habits and get better and better and better. The two together is the optimal way to make changes on an individual basis and on a group basis. And then, so this gets to the demonstration of ROI. It's difficult when you're in the business of people to say, all right, well, what does that do to my bottom line? You know, exactly what percentage is this going to help me? It's very hard. People are three-dimensional and messy, and it's tough to measure things. So what we do is we start every engagement with surveys and interviews and record those answers during, and then afterwards, we follow up with interviews and with surveys, and we're looking to get the change, the big difference between where they started and where they ended up. And 9.5 times out of 10, Elliot, you see these people saying, I feel so much more confident in my work. I feel so much more secure talking to my manager. I feel so much more supported in doing the things that I want to do that can actually help the organization. And that type of information is gold. It's precious. And it's what actually helps our clients feel that, or I should say, know that they got their money's worth.
Right. So we're talking with Sean Perlmutter. He is one partner in Pivotal Twist. They're an outside consulting firm. And we've been talking about a culture and vision and employing it. If you need to reach me, I'm at 925-314-8503. Elliot, E-L-L-I-O-T, at Prosperity Financial Group and www.prosperityfinancialgroup.com. And let me also tell you, Sean, that recently we have become now the top 2.5% of a financial podcast globally. So this is pretty amazing, and we're thrilled to be doing this with a great team behind me that works very hard to make this happen. And they do an absolutely great job. So I got one more question for you, because I want
to shoot
in a 23, 25 minute range, if that's okay with you.
I'm ready.
And that's a phrase you brought up, and that's emotional tenor. And I'd like for you to define it and how it applies to an organization. And I'm the CEO, so I'm assuming I want to have the right emotional tenor personally, collectively, and so forth. And so does every CEO or CFO or VP of HR, so forth, listening to this. So what does that mean exactly?
I'm going to back into the answer to this question. Some of your listeners may be familiar with the esteemed organizational psychologist Adam Grant, who recently said at the World Economic Forum that leadership is so used to having exit conversations. But he would suggest strongly, and we agree, that they should have stay conversations, the conversations with people to keep them there. So we certainly agree with that for sure, but we take it a step further. We call them catharsis conversations. And catharsis is a term that's used in theater and film and storytelling. It's about the emotional release of strong or pent-up emotions. When you, as a manager or organizational leader, regularly talk to your people and actually seek to have a catharsis, not on your part, you want them to have a catharsis, you're actually laying the foundation for a psychologically safe and secure organization. People can feel okay about saying, you know what, boss, I'm frustrated, or you know what, I'm feeling very upset about this one particular thing, or this mechanism in our organization gets me angry. When you hear those things as a leader, what are you going to do? If you turn your back, that's bad for culture, it's bad for productivity, it's bad for the organization's success. However, and this is why I said at the beginning of the program, if you can be open to, acknowledge, and celebrate those emotions, then you can turn things around. So if you are hearing, if you set yourself up to have a catharsis conversation, and that's first understanding the where people are coming from and how they're feeling, giving them a opportunity to specify those things, and then this is the most important part, with the team member planning a way forward, next thing you know, you've got an employee who is with you through thick and thin. That emotional tenor I'm talking about is directly related to psychological safety. I want to feel comfortable in being able to speak my mind and say, I feel this way, I feel that way. And look, what we're after is, look, I feel great. You know, I'm so excited to do this work today. Or I feel really happy being here because I feel so supported. That's what we're after. When you can get there. Now, by the way, one of the other things that I say, Elliot, is we have crossed the Rubicon, so to speak, where compensation, bennies, and PTO are the only things that will keep people at work. We're beyond that. We're in a different time now. And you need these other aspects to come into play. And that's what's going to keep people loyal, motivated, and productive. These other aspects are culture, the way your leadership is communicating with you, having the psychological safety at work, acknowledging your emotions. And then finally, what I love about you and your organization is that sense of joy. If you've got all those, you're probably hitting it out of the ballpark.
John, this has been great. So tell our listeners or viewers here, and this is virtually on every podcast out there right now, if you are a podcaster, you just have to say to Spotify or Apple, wherever you like to listen, play me Meet the Expert with Elliot Callan, and you'll get about 55 or 60 episodes, and you can begin to choose. So we've been talking to Sean Perlmutter. Sean, how does somebody reach you?
Elliot, it was such a pleasure being with you today. Thank you so much for having me on. People can find us on the web at pivotaltwist.com. And you can find me directly at my email address, Sean, S-E-A-N, at pivotaltwist.com. Thanks a bunch. I really enjoyed being with you today.
Well, thank you, and have a great day, everybody, and we'll talk to you soon.